7. Just progressively move forward a few chapters each time. Proverbs chapter 10, chapter 22, and Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. If you're in Proverbs 10 and you'd like to stand with us and you're able to do that, I invite you to at this time, and we'll read these verses together and give you the simple thought that the Lord has given to us for this afternoon. Davina asked me today, she, of course, we didn't get the opportunity to preach this morning. The Holy Ghost showed up, moved, and I didn't preach this morning. She said, so now what are you going to do? You going to preach this morning's message tonight or tonight's message? And I told her, I said, no, I'm going to preach what God gave me for tonight. And it's worked out pretty good since I didn't get to preach this morning. Tonight's message is the longer of the two, which is good. That way I can get it all in this afternoon. So Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 7, the Bible says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Turn over a few pages to chapter 22 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And one more time in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. Lord, we love you this afternoon. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to stand here and preach the Word of God. And I pray that you'd bless us as we preach to these men and women. Lord, help us to say something that would be an encouragement and a help to them. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's one tonight struggling, one tonight that needs some help, I pray that you'd give them what they stand in need of. If there's one among us tonight lost, maybe they're not saved, maybe they're unsure about it, Lord, I pray that they leave out of the building tonight just as sure as they can be that they're saved by the grace of God. Lord, we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. I don't know if you picked up on the theme of the three verses that we read tonight in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 22, and Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. But the Bible places a good deal of emphasis on a person's name. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The Bible places a great deal of emphasis on a person's name. In fact, in ancient times, men and women would name their children based on their current relationship with God, based on what was going on in the nation at that time, or what they wanted their children to become, or what they wanted their children to be. In fact, those of you who are Bible students that study your Bible know this. One of the best ways to understand a Bible character is to understand the meaning of their name. If you can understand their name, it gives you some insight onto who that person is. For example, the Bible tells us in the book of Hosea that as Gomer, Hosea's wife, gave birth to their second son, that God spoke to the prophet Hosea and he said, Hosea, I want you to name that son Loami. That word name Loami means not your God. And essentially God was telling the prophet Hosea and the nation of Israel that he was not their God, that he had rejected them, that they were an adulterous people, a wicked people. And he said, name him Loami, not your God. I will not be your God. You remember in 1 Samuel, how that as the birth of the grandchild of Eli came, that boy, that child was born under duress as the nation gets word of their defeat at the hand of the Philistines. And Eli dies and his two sons have died. And as that baby is born into this world, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21, that woman said, name him Ichabod, because the glory of God is departed. You see, a person's name means something. And we still place a lot of emphasis on the names of our children today. Parents will spend months debating and picking out the name of their unborn child. Sometimes they'll name them a family name or name of a hero or someone who is influential in their life. But a name means something. A name carries a, carries a weight to it. It speaks of who you are. I thought about this. I wrote this down just for amusement. Most people don't know who Stephen Judkins is. You've probably never heard that name before, but you've probably heard the name Stevie Wonder. You've probably heard that name. That's the same person. Some of you might know who Norma Jean Mortensen is, but most of you probably have heard of Marilyn Monroe. And I guess maybe if your name was Marion Morrison, you wouldn't be as tough as if your name was John Wayne, but that's the same person. And Carlos Ray Norris, no matter how you say his name, Chuck Norris is still a bad dude. But a name carries a lot of meaning to it. I thought about Juliet in the Shakespearean play Romeo and Juliet. Juliet said to Romeo, she said, "What is a name? That which is called a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And if you've read that play, you know that Juliet is trying to convince Romeo to forget about his last name. It didn't matter if he was a Capulet or a Montague, that they could love each other just the same. And while she maybe had the right idea, I think that she was probably mistaken, because a person's name does mean something. I think Mr. Dale Carnegie got it right in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, when Mr. Carnegie said, remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. And I'd say that's probably closer to the truth. Our name carries some meaning behind it. And I'm getting somewhere with this. Y'all stick on and I'll be there in just a minute. I'm trying to say that a name means something. I remember several years ago there, when we were members at Landmark Baptist Church, we had a Filipino missionary come visit us that night at Landmark, a Sunday night, I believe it was. And that missionary went around introducing himself to everybody before service, telling them his name, and he was getting their name in return. And then in his message, he did something pretty smart. He went around and said every person's name that was in the congregation that night. And I thought that's pretty impressive that he could remember those names. That is a shameless dig at the offering that we were going to give him in just a few minutes, that he would make us feel so important that he would remember our names. But a name means something. I believe that. And this week I began to think about the importance of our names. Our names represent who we are, what we stand for, and the way that we make other people feel. You see, our name is more than a series of letters on a piece of paper. It is more than an identification on a birth certificate. It is more than a contact in a cell phone. Your name is who you are. Do you realize that when somebody hears your name, they think about something, they feel something? Either good or bad, when they hear your name, they think of something. And therefore, I believe that if our name is that important, it would be a good idea for you and I to look into the pages of the Word of God and see what God has to say about the emphasis of a name. I want to show you tonight three names that I believe that every person should have. Three names that I believe every person should have. I'll give them to you as quick as I can and we'll get out of here. I want you to see this. Number one, I think that a person should have a regarded name. A regarded name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 22 that a name held in high regard is more valuable than great riches. And I believe that Solomon was a man that knew something about both great riches and a good name. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, that in the days of King Solomon, that Solomon was the richest king, the wealthiest king in the world in that day. In the days of Solomon, they amassed great riches so great that they would build buildings and overlay them with gold, and they would build vessels, utensils, plates, and cups out of gold. But Solomon also knew what it was like to have people travel from all over the world to hear his wisdom, to hear who he was. They believed him to be a godly man and a good man and a wise man. And Solomon knew something about great riches, and he knew something about a good name. And he said, "I've compared the two, and I want you to know that a good name is greater riches than all the silver and all the gold in this entire world. Hey, I'm telling you that a good name means something tonight. Amen. Let me say this. I thought about that good name, that regarded name. I thought about the treasure of a good name. The treasure of a good name. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says a good name is better than precious ointment. Amen. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says that loving favor, that good name is greater than great riches. It's greater than silver and gold. You see, in Ecclesiastes, a good name is better than precious ointment. And in Proverbs, it's greater than great riches. Hey, ointment was valuable and it was expensive in this day. We know from the story of Mary of Bethany in the book of John, how that Mary of Bethany had that precious ointment that she had saved a year's wages for, 300 pence, 300 days wages. That was a very valuable box of ointment that she anointed the Lord with that afternoon. But the Bible says that a good name is greater riches than precious ointment. It's greater riches than silver, and it's greater riches than gold. Hey, a good name is a treasure for you and I to have. Amen. Oftentimes, ointment was used for medical purposes. And those of you who have bought a prescription at the pharmacy know that pharmacy will put an expiration date on that prescription, that ointment, if you'll allow me to say it that way. Over a given period of time, it begins to weaken. It begins to lose its potency. It begins to lose its value. The Bible says the same thing about silver and gold, that it'll rust and it'll corrupt and it can be stolen. But a good name's more valuable than both of those because of the stability that it brings. Hey, I wonder tonight when somebody thinks of you, can they think of somebody who is trustworthy? Can they think of somebody that's stable? Can they think of somebody that they can count on? When they think about your name, when your name is mentioned, is that a good name? Is that a treasure in their ears? Or do they think of something negative? You know, I know some people that I really believe that I could trust them with my life. I believe that. You know why? They've proven to me that they are trustworthy. They've proven to me that if they say something, they're going to do it. And if they tell me something, then I can pretty much mark it down. They're going to do what they said they're going to do. But at the same time, I've met a few people along the way that, I'll just be honest with you, you couldn't trust anything they said. You know why I couldn't trust anything that they said? Because they proved to me that I couldn't trust them if they said something. Amen. They've proven to me that they usually weren't going to do what they said they were going to do. They proved to me that if you needed them, they were usually nowhere to be found. They proved to me that if given the opportunity, they'd let you down. Hey, I'm telling you that you and I should place some treasure in that name that we've been given tonight. Amen. Not only is a good name a treasure, but I thought about not only the treasure of a good name, but the tenderness of a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. You see, Solomon tells us that when we hold our name in high regard and we protect it, that it will bring along with that the love of others. You see, if we've got a good name, if we've got a regarded name, a highly regarded name, then people are going to love us. They're going to appreciate us. They're going to show us kindness. They're going to help us. They're going to stand up for us because we've got a good name and they've got some confidence in who that we are.
Amen. Yes.
You see, when you hold your name in high regard, other people will hold your name in high regard. Amen. I've met some people that had this attitude, Brother Scott. Their attitude was, I don't care what people think about me. And you know why they had that attitude? Because they lived that way enough where people didn't think much about them. Amen? Yeah. And so that's just what they've got to say. I don't care what people think about me. Well, you know what? I care what people think about me.
Yes.
Amen? I want people to think something well of me, something good of me. Hey, I don't want people to think of me in a negative light, in a bad light. I want to have a good name. Oh boy, I thought about this. Not only the treasure of a good name, the tenderness of a good name, But I thought about the time of a good name. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 7 says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." You see, often we don't realize this, but our name is something that lasts longer than we do. Long after you're gone, your name will still be around. And if we protect that name and hold it in high regard, Solomon tells us that our names will be a blessing to those that remember us. If, however, we are dishonest and we are untrustworthy, if we are mean or we are cruel or we have an ugly personality, then we're going to have not only a bad name now, but Solomon said that our name will rot with our corpse as it lays in the grave. You know, I don't know what you folk think about me. I hope that you think highly of me in the year that we've got to know each other. In fact, I really, it would hurt my feelings if I thought that you didn't think highly of me. And I'm not saying that because I'm a man pleaser. I'm saying it because I care about who I am and what other people think about me. You know, I would hate to think, let me help you out right here. I would hate to think that when somebody thought about me, the first thing that came to their mind is they're a gossip. I felt some kickback on that, so I'll say it again. I would hate to think that when somebody thought of me, they thought, you know, he or she, they're a gossip. They can't help talk about people all the time. I would hate to think that when people thought of me, they thought I was somebody who was all the time looking for a fight. Amen? There's few of those. I've met a few of those. In fact, I met a few of those that said they were Christians, but they're all the time looking to argue and fight with somebody. The Bible says we shouldn't be brawlers. Do you understand what that means? It means you ought to live peaceably as much as within you. Live peaceably with all men. It ain't none of my business to go around fighting with everybody all the time. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'd hate to think that when somebody thought about me, they thought, you know, Brother Josh, he's just not dependable. Amen? I would hate to think that. I would hate to think that when somebody thought about me, they would think that I was not faithful. I was not faithful to my family, not faithful to my job. Boy, I'd hate for my, this ain't even in my notes, I'd hate for my boss man to wonder whether I was coming into work every Monday morning or not. Amen?
Amen.
I'd want him to know that Josh is going to be in the parking lot when that business opens up. I'm talking about being dependable and being faithful with who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, oh, Brother Josh, your name, it really don't mean that much. Well, let's put it to a test. How about that? Let's put it to a test and see if a memory of a name really does mean something or not. Well, I thought about the name this week, the Hebrew name Judah. Judah's a wonderful name. Judah, the name Judah means, it means praise is what it means. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob. And there are many things that come to mind when I think about that name Judah. I think about praise. I think about Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah. You see, it was from Judah that Christ came. A good tribe, a godly tribe, you see. I hold that name in high regard. When I think about Judah, I think that Judah was the first of all the tribes that when David became king or David was placed in that position, it was Judah that first came to David's side and said, David, we'll go with you. You're going to be our king. We're going to want to stick with you, David. It was Judah that when the nations departed, while most of them had wicked kings, it was Judah that had some Hezekiahs and had some godly kings in through there. I'm talking about Judah was a good name to be had.
Amen.
That Hebrew name Judah, what a good name. But did you know that if you take that Hebrew name Judah and you translate it into the Greek, it has another well familiar name. It's the name Judas. You understand, Judas is the Greek name for Judah. Now, does that change the way you think about the name? You say, oh, what I do, who I am, it'd be forgotten. No, it won't be forgotten, neighbor. Hey, I'm telling you that we ought to have, number one, we ought to want to have a regarded name. We ought to want people to hold our name in high regard. Let me show you this, number two. Not only do we want to have a regarded name, I never did tell you the title of my message, you note keepers. Y'all are probably wondering what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm preaching on He Knows My Name.
Amen.
Amen. He knows my name. Y'all probably already made something up better than that. If you did, tell me. Next time I preach it, I'll use yours. Amen. Number two, I want you to see not only a regarded name, but I think that every person should have a rearranged name. A rearranged name. Solomon has told us the value of a good name, but the truth is that some of us have done things in our past that have tarnished our names. We've made mistakes. We've done things that we're not proud of. And because of those things, we feel like that we could never move forward. We believe that the things that we've done will never be forgotten. They'll hold us back the rest of our lives. But can I say to you tonight that there's a God in heaven that if you've made some mistakes and you've done some things that you're not proud of, and there's some skeletons in your closet, and you didn't have a regarded name, a highly regarded name in the past, I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that's able to take your name, rearrange that name, make you into a new person, give you a new name, give you a clean slate. I'm glad that God's still able to forgive sins, to cleanse sinners of wickedness and unrighteousness. Hey, I'm telling you, maybe your neighbor will never forget it. Maybe your family will never forget it. But there's a God in heaven that says, if you'll ask me, I'll forget it. I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. I'll put it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. I'm glad that God can take us from who we used to be and make us into a new creature in Christ Jesus. But we should have a regarded name. I'm thankful we can have a rearranged name. I used to work with an old boy down the street at the floor covering place. He was born, his name was Kim. That was his name when he was born. His dad gave him that name, Kim. And what long after he was born, his dad run off. He was, from what I understand, good for nothing. He was a loser. And so as this young man began to grow up, he started hating that name, Kim. He hated it. Hated it until the day he turned 18 and he went down to the courthouse and he changed his name. He said that it costs by the letter to change your name. So he changed it from Kim to Tim. And he changed his name. But you know what? He wanted to break free of that past. He didn't want to be remembered by that past anymore. He wanted a fresh start. He wanted a new start with his life. And I'm glad that God is still able to take some Sauls and turn them into some Pauls. Hey, I'm glad that God can change us.
Amen.
This week I began to think about people in the Bible who had their name changed. Do you realize there were several of them? I want to give you three of them. I'll give them to you fast. God changed Abram's name to Abraham because he was blessed. Because he was blessed. When we're introduced to Abram and Sarai in Genesis chapter 11, they're a bunch of nobodies from a nowhere place called Uz. In fact, their names aren't even Abraham and Sarah at the time, but Abram and Sarai. We don't know nothing about the early life of Abraham. He's just a nobody. But one day the voice of God speaks to this nobody and asks him to pack up his belongings and move out of Uz. And we all know the story of Abram. Abram packs up his wife and he heads out to an unknown destination. And for some time it seems that all that Abram can do is just wander around. He travels by day and he sets up his tent by night. And he travels by day and he sets up his tent by night. And it goes on and on and on that way for a long period of time. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care much for traveling. When my wife starts talking about vacation, I say, baby, pick somebody somewhere that's close to the house. I hate to drive. But can you imagine Abram just traveling and traveling and traveling? Didn't ever seem like he was going nowhere. He didn't know where he was headed. Just traveling all the time. And to make matters worse, it's not long in the journey where difficulties arise. Abram's father-in-law dies on the journey. A feud breaks out between his herdsmen and his nephew Lot's herdsmen. And then Lot winds up getting upset at Uncle Abraham and he leaves, goes on in his own direction. And to make matters even worse, his wife Sarah's barren. She can't have any children. God's promised them children, but they haven't had any. And I'm telling you, all they do is just travel and travel and travel and follow the Lord. Boy, I thought about that. You know, there are some people that are like Abraham. You're trying to follow the Lord, but it seems like sometimes you're just going around in circles. You're traveling, but it doesn't feel like you're making any progress. It doesn't feel like you're going anywhere. You don't know what God's got in store for you. You don't know what God's plan is for you. All you know is that you're just traveling on the journey of life. And to make matters worse, difficulties and problems keep popping up out of nowhere. And you're down and you're out. But can I suggest just keep traveling along for the Lord? Because it won't be long before you travel to Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 and verse 5. And God says, Abram, I've told you once and I'll tell you again. I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to bless your seed. And I want you to know that as a token of it, I'm not even going to call you Abram anymore. I'm going to call you Abraham from this point forward. Amen. God said, I'm going to put some ham on the end of your name. I'm going to bless you. Amen. Amen. And he blessed him. Hey, I'm thankful that when we are traveling life's journey and when we are going around in circles and when problems and difficulties arise, just keep traveling for the Lord, because if you do, God will rearrange your circumstances. He'll rearrange your name at some point. You may not know when it's coming and when it's going to happen, but you hang tight. God will hang some ham on the end of your name, and He'll bless you every once in a while. Amen. God changed Abram's name to Abraham because he was blessed. God changed Simon's name to Peter because he believed. One of the most prominent figures of the New Testament church was Peter. We're all familiar with Peter. You probably know this, but Peter didn't start out as Peter. Peter started out as a rough fisherman named Simon. Shortly after the announcement of Jesus as being the Lamb of God, two of the disciples of John the Baptist, John and Andrew, began to follow the Lord. And when Andrew figures out who he is and that he's the Messiah, he quickly runs home and gets his brother Simon. And he says, Simon, we found him. We found the Messiah. You got to come meet him. And Simon goes and he's introduced to the Lord. The Lord says something pretty interesting to him the first time he meets him. In John 1:42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. At this meeting, Jesus tells Simon that he is no longer going to be called Simon, but he's going to be called Cephas or Peter, which means a stone. Now, the Lord didn't change Peter's name because he wanted to give him a nickname. He didn't change his name because he said, you know, Simon, I've already got one follower named Simon, so I'm going to have to call you something different. I'm going to call you Peter. He didn't do that. But the Lord had a reason for calling him Peter, calling him Cephas, calling him the stone, the rock man. Now, when I think about Peter, I don't think about really a very solid guy when he starts out. You know, let's just be real. Peter was wishy-washy at best. He was up one day and he was out the next day. And he would profess great things and then say something stupid in the next sentence. He was up and down a lot. He wasn't very rock solid in who that he was. But one day, Jesus is standing there and multitudes have turned their back on him and they've gone back to where they come from. And he looked at those 12 and he said, Men, are y'all going to go away too? And Peter looks Jesus eyeball to eyeball and he says, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, you know what? He said, Thou art Peter, you are the stone, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. Amen. Hey, Jesus wasn't saying he's going to build his church on Peter. He was saying he was going to build his church on some people that believed like Peter believed. Amen. Peter may have been up and down and in and out, but there was one thing Peter was convinced of, and he died convinced of it. He was convinced that Jesus was who he said he was. He was convinced he was the Christ. He was convinced he was the Messiah. And Jesus said, I'm looking for some men and women who have belief like this guy believes, and I'll build a church on that. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, Jesus is still looking for some people that he can take your little bit of faith, And he can mix it up and rearrange it, and he'll build a church on it. Amen. You know, if we want our church to grow, and it has grown, it's been a wonderful blessing to see it grow, see it more than double in the past year. That's been a wonderful thing. But you know what it's going to take to keep on growing? It's going to take some men and women that believe.
Amen.
Amen. Let me show you this, and I'll give you my last point after this, and I'll be out of here. I want you to see that God changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Amen.
Because he was born again, or he battled. We know the story of Jacob. The name Jacob means supplanter. It means a trickster. Jacob was born into this world trying to get one over on somebody else. Numerous times in their childhood, Jacob would get the better of Esau. We know he took his birthright from him. We know that he tricked his father, Isaac, into getting Esau's blessing. We know that he pulled one over on his father-in-law, Laban, when he raised his cattle. Jacob's life was lived with the mentality, I've got to get one on you before you get one on me. Amen. That's the way he lived his life. And Jacob lived that way for many years, but finally one day it caught up on him. He got news that big brother Esau had found him and that he was coming to meet him. And he really believed that Esau was going to come and Esau was going to get revenge for that birthright and that blessing that he took from him.
Amen.
Esau's going to kill me. And so Jacob does the only thing that Jacob knows to do. He's tired. And he's afraid. His enemy's on his trail. He does the one thing he can think of. He goes back to Bethel. Bethel was the place where he'd seen God, where he'd met with God. That name Bethel means the house of bread. It was that place where he saw that golden ladder and those angels going up and down on it. Bethel was the place that he met with the Lord. So he goes back to that place. And you all know the story. That night the angel of the Lord appeared unto Jacob, and he wrestled with him all night long. And at the breaking of day, Jacob was tired and Jacob couldn't fight anymore, and all he was doing was just holding on. But when morning comes and the angel says, let me go, Jacob says, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I'm not letting you go till you do something for me. Boy, I thought about Jacob. He was tired of running. He was tired of fighting. And most of all, he was just tired of Jacob. He was tired of being Jacob, and he was doing everything that he could do just to hang on, just to hold on till morning light. Boy, there's some people here that might be like that. You're tired of running. You're tired of fighting. Most of all, you're just tired of you. But I'll tell you, if you'll just hang on, when morning comes, if you'll let him, God will bless you. And that angel said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm not going to call you Jacob, but I'm going to call you Israel. Hey, what a blessing that was. He got a fresh start that day. He got a new start that day. I think about it this way. He might have been born again that day. He met with God, and God changed him from Jacob into Israel. And I'm glad that God still does that today.
Amen.
He changes people. I'm glad that he changes people. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. The Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth it. Jesus said, if you're an overcomer, who are overcomers? I guess we got to ask that question.
Amen.
Overcomers are those that place their faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're overcomers when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, if you're an overcomer, he said, there's coming a day when I'm going to give you a white stone. And on that white stone, I'm going to write a new name. In these days, to understand what the Lord's talking about in these days, when a jury would rule on a person, when they would give a ruling, a verdict, they would use stones to give that verdict, to give that decision. And if a man was guilty, they would hand a black stone. I'm voting that he's guilty. But oh, if he was innocent, Grandpa, if the jury found him innocent, innocent of all charges, they would put that white stone out there that said he's free of the charges. He's innocent. We're not going to hold him responsible. I'm glad that that day Jesus Christ saved me. He said I was innocent. He said I was clean. He said I could go free. And he gave me a new name that day.
Amen.
I'm done. I think we ought to have a regarded name. We ought to have a rearranged name. Number three, we ought to have a recorded name. A recorded name. Let me say this. The Bible says in Luke 10:22, Jesus said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not." The disciples had come back. They had cast out demons. They were so excited about that. And Jesus, not trying to dampen their spirit, but Jesus realizing that the demons would not always be subject to them. Jesus said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." He said, "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. He said, "There'll come a day when you'll try to cast out that demon and it won't be able to be cast out." He said, "That's going to be change, and that it won't always be like this, boys." He said, "But if you rejoice because your names are written in heaven, you can always rejoice." Yes. Well, I'm telling you, we ought to have a recorded name. I'm thankful. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. I might say it again Wednesday night, next Sunday. I'll never get tired of saying it. Amen. I'm thankful on February 23rd, 1993, the good Holy Ghost of God came by where I was at, 5705 Ray Krebs Court, and he passed by my way almost 11:30 at night, 14 years old. God saved me by his grace that night. I'll never get over that. Boy, I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. But there was a great big book, the book of life, opened in heaven that night. God took out his great big pen and he wrote my name in blood, and it's recorded in heaven this very night. I'm glad for that recorded name. Oh, the songwriter got it right when they said, "My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear, because I know, I know, I know my name is there." Amen. If my name's recorded in heaven, that means, letter A, it means it'll never change. Amen. It means it'll never change. Revelation 3:5, "But he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." God has my name recorded in heaven, and when God writes a name down, I'm thankful that he does not have an eraser on the end of his pencil. I'm glad when he wrote it down for eternity. You know, all God's names, when he writes them down, are eternal. You think about Mary of Bethany. I mentioned her a minute ago when she did what she did. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said this will be recorded for a memorial to her throughout all generations. Jesus said they'll always remember this name. It was forever. There's a bunch of names written in the Old Testament. Those of you who have read through your Bible, and I encourage you to do that, you start at one end and head to the other, and it gets exciting in Genesis and Exodus. Sometimes you get to them Numbers, though, and them Chronicles, and Lord, have mercy. It's names, but you know what? Those names are recorded there. And they're recorded there for all eternity. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. My word, it'll never pass away. Those list of names will always be recorded. I'm glad that the same is true with the book of life. When he wrote my name down, he wrote it down to never change. It'll always be wrote there. It means it'll never change. It means I'm his child. I'm done. It means I'm his child. The day that I was saved, my name was recorded in heaven. I become the child of God. God's not like a lot of fathers today. God doesn't have any illegitimate children, children that he doesn't know about. Boy, we've got a good father. He knows our name. I'm glad that he knows my name. Aren't you glad of that? Boy, I was up at Landmark Thursday night. One of the deacons up there, Brother Floyd, he just had his first grandbaby. You could just see the excitement on him after service. He come up to me and he said, "Brother Josh, have you seen the pictures?" I'd seen some pictures, but I ain't seen his pictures, so I had to stand and look at him. And he got his iPad out and started showing me them pictures. "Look at this one, look at this one, look at this one." You know why? There's his grandbaby. He was proud of him. Amen. He loved him. He had a record of it too. That was his grandbaby. Well, I believe that if God carried a wallet around, my picture would be in it. Amen. Amen. I believe if God had an iPad, my picture would be on it. Amen. And I'm thankful that every once in a while he'd pull it out and have you seen this picture. This one's mine. This one's mine. Let me show you. This one's mine. I love him. I remember the day I saved him. I remember the day he was adopted into my family. I'm glad that my name's recorded there. Mallory, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you could come sing for us tonight, I want you to come sing that song, "He Knows My Name." I'm glad that God knows our name tonight.